blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Oh, yes, now, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
God, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, let's sing it now, let's stand.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Play it, boys. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's give him one more good hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Amen. Now, Brother Tim Cross kind of got on our case last night because we clap our hands so much. But you know what? That's something every one of you can do. You might not can sing a lick, but you can clap them old hands, can't you? Say, man, whatever you do. I heard Brother Branham say on tape just a while ago, the gift that God's put in your life, he said, if you can't do nothing but whistle, whistle with everything you got. So, Brother Greg Robbins, there's hope for you this morning, buddy. Praise the Lord. You love Brother Greg this morning. Ain't he a good one? Praise the Lord. Bless your heart. Now, how many of you enjoyed church here last night? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Is it the best thing that ever got a hold of your life? Amen. Somebody say it's the truth. Now turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them at church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Play a little bit more of that and let's sing it if you will. ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of the request. If you would, brother, God bless you. If you want to come on up this morning, so glad to have you're the brother from Florida. Is that right? Well, we're glad. This Floridian, we're glad to have him with us. God bless you. We're glad to have you, buddy. We'll read the request and have our brother lead us to the Lord. Brother Jeff Nunley had a seizure this morning and fell. Cut his lip. They're asking that we remember him in prayer, so we certainly want to pray for that need today. Brother Keith Phillips is having surgery for kidney stones tomorrow at 10:30. Certainly want to pray for Brother Keith. The Lord will just be mindful of him. Brother Randy Scott says to please remember me in prayer. I've been going through a tough time the last few weeks, just asking for the help of the Lord, so we want to remember him. Brother Joel Moyer and family, want to continue to remember them, has an infected tooth in his body, so we're just praying that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Charlie Therese is in the VA hospital. Please remember him in your prayer. Sister Chevy wants you to remember him, if you would. Brother Aaron McCoy says, my cousin, Larissa, wanted us to pray for her. She goes to see a doctor tomorrow. There's a large tumor that they found on the back of her brain, and she's only in her 20s, so they're asking that we would pray for that need today. Sister Lubine wants us to remember her sister-in-law from Manchester, Tennessee. Linda Jones has blood clots in her heart and can't keep her heart rate down or regulated. Please remember her in her prayer, so let's remember that. Brother Daniel Nunn will be going through surgery, I believe, tomorrow, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Daniel that the Lord would just be mindful of him. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs in our assembly. We're serving a prayer answering God, aren't we? Brother, God bless you as you take us to the Lord this morning.
Amen. Greetings from Orlando, church. God bless you all. Amen. I think these are the one that's mentioned, but there's so many, you know, that's still in our hearts that we speak of. Amen. To the Lord, and know that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, of course. And we know that it's all finished at Calvary. So we're looking at these prayer requests with a right attitude or the right promise. The Lord is finished. And we're going to agree today that these things, all the requests are before God, and we're going to believe for them. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here again today, Lord, knowing that last night was a tremendous power of God that laid in our hearts. And Lord, it just touched every need that's in this place. There's so many needs today. Again, Lord, we come here because we are a bride in need of our husband. And Lord Jesus, you're here this morning. We are here because you're here. And Lord Jesus, today we ask you to bless the speaker this morning. Bless every need that was mentioned, every prayer request that was laid upon this platform today, and every prayer request that's laid in our hearts of everyone that's in this place, Lord. We know there's so many. Now, Lord, but Lord Jesus, you're the answer to every question. You're the answer to every prayer. You're the answer to every sinner. You're the answer, Lord Jesus, to all things. And this morning, Lord, we are here. And our heart and petition is before thee, O Lord Jesus. Bless us now. Anoint the ministry. Bless the hearts here this morning. That, Lord, it's you that's come for us today. And, Lord, I ask you to bring the revelation of Jesus Christ. Move upon the hearts of those here today. Move upon those this morning that maybe don't know you as your Savior. That, Lord Jesus, you can move upon every need, every heart, every thirst this morning. That thirst, dear God, that only you can feel. Bless us now as we open this service. We release it, Lord. We open our hearts. We empty out, Lord, this morning that you can fill us today. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. All of our visitors, we certainly want to welcome you again this morning. How many visitors do we have? Just lift your hands. All over the building, let's give them a nice hand this morning, if you would. Praise the Lord. All of our streamers, we want to say God bless our streamers. We appreciate you so much. Just pray that God would continue to let these services be a blessing in your life. Is Brother Joel Brown in the building this morning? Where is he at? Where are you going, Brother Joel? He's going up yonder. Come on up here real quick. It's liable to snow before you get here. Where are you at? There he is, right there. God bless his heart. We love Brother Joel. I love you too, buddy. Praise the Lord. Let's have Brother Joel sing this song. Anybody want to know where you're going, he can tell you. We're going up yonder. Are you glad about it? Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise this morning. Sing it, buddy.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going.
Amen. Oh, yes.
If anybody asks you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Where I'm going.
Where are you going?
Where I'm going.
I love this song. Y'all know it. Sing it with me.
Savior, face to face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Gonna be
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That little youngin keeps practicing. He's going to make a singer sure as this world. Appreciate Brother Joel and the Brown family. Just mean a lot to us. Let me make this announcement. We've got a couple of songs this morning, possibly three. We'll see how time goes. Brother Josh Collins is here. Wherever he's at, come on to the platform. Also, the youth choir, they have a song for us. I want them to be ready to get up here real quickly if they can. And then we'll see how time is as far as the third song. We'll do our best. Brother Josh is coming. Give him a nice hand wherever he is this morning. Give him a nice hand. Brother Wes wanted you to know that there will be a teen and a young adult Bible study in the fellowship hall tomorrow night from 6 until 8 p.m. Everybody, is please be here. You're welcome. May God bless you. And let me just say one other thing while we're waiting on Brother Josh to get here. On behalf of, is he up here already? There he is. I was looking for him to come down this way. Brother Michael was very generous in offering all a lot of thanks and appreciations for all of our workers for the Fall Festival. And we want to say once again, God bless everybody that had a part in that. Brother Michael, God bless you for having a vision and being such a hard worker. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give our brother Josh a nice hand. You can be seated this morning. God bless you, buddy. Bless you.
It hurts to see you this way. I'm lost for words. There's so much I am wanting to say. Though I don't understand, I'll hold your hand. I'll hold your hand. But if I had in my way, I'd take this from you. But God, He knows what He's doing. So here while our hearts break, we have to believe that God, He knows what He's doing. He's never failed us before. He has shown us His goodness. His love will endure. His ways are higher than our own. Whatever the road, whatever the road. But if I had in my way, I take this from you, but God, He knows what He's doing. So here while our hearts break, we have to believe that God, He knows what He's doing. Our God, He knows what He's doing. God, He knows what He's doing. So here while our hearts break, we have to believe that God, He knows what He's doing. Our God, He knows what He's doing.
Great job, buddy. God bless you. Great job. Praise the Lord. While the choir's coming, let me make one other announcement. Well, actually, a card that Sister Linda Phillips had acknowledged the church for. She had a short stay in the hospital, and she wanted just to thank you for your prayers, the cards, the calls, and all that you mean to her. They love this church family, and we love Brother Jerry and Sister Linda Phillips, don't we? Amen. Give these youngins a nice hand as they sing for you. You see.
I think they're chasing some lost microphones, so let's just sing a little chorus. G, brothers.
Oh, I will praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the
Hopelessness. There are mountains ahead that I can't move by myself. But I know when I'm weak, He's strong. When I can barely breathe, it's still a song. Even though it's hard right now, I'm not here on my own. So when I'll
you don't mind standing, Brother Donnie will be coming out. Let's just sing that chorus again.
I will praise the Lord.
Trust that's a part of your everyday life. Praising Him. Just every day. Why do you praise Him? Why do I not? Breath, life, food, water, oxygen, church to go to, a prophet, a message. Brothers and sisters, we got so much to praise Him for. Amen. Let's read again today, if you would, the Song of Solomon. Certainly, I want to welcome each of you that are here today, the visitors that are still over with us from the Fall Fest. I announced here Wednesday night, I was having a Fall Fest on Friday night, a Bride Fest on Saturday night and Sunday morning. So I appreciate all the food, and I actually got to eat some this time. All the food and the fellowship, but to be honest with you, it was no comparison to church last night. But our guests and our visitors added their little lick of fire, and it just made it so special, didn't it? Amen. I told Brother Louis like a while ago, everything's a special meeting except for the preacher, and it's the same old, same old. So maybe next year we need to do it a little different, have a special, some special speakers that'll be with us. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Psalms 42, verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I want you to notice that David didn't just want a God in his life. He wanted a living God. Amen. All kinds of folks have all kinds of gods in their lives. They're man-made and church-made and mama-made and daddy-made. But David said that he thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord's blessings over the word today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your grace to us, Lord Jesus. We realize, dear God, had it not been for the great expanse of your love from the very beginning, to be able to think of such a plan as you've laid out for us as mortals, where would we be, Lord, if it wasn't for your grace? I'm sure many can recall and look back at their lives and think what they used to be before you came into them and what you did, a great deliverance that you brought. Lord Jesus, we by no means desire to ever go back to that kind of a life. I imagine that Abraham must have reminisced time and time again as he come from the city of Ur of the Chaldees. Josephus tells us that Abraham's father had a god shop. So there Abraham and them sold gods throughout all the different regions. One for cultivation of crops, one for productivity of children, and one thing after another after another. But something down in Abraham knew every time he sold one of them gods, there's got to be a living one somewhere. Maybe if they'd fall off the shelf and break, and Abraham was taught how to repair them and how to fix a nose back and how to replace a hand or something or another. But there was a longing down inside of his soul for a living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That same longing is in us today. We ask you that you'd help us as we look into your word, Father. Once again, would you speak to us, dear God? We thank you in advance because we know every time we pull our feet up under your table, you always feed us well. Speak to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on this little fox of substitution. Satan is quite an amazing being whenever you look at him. Created the archangel, arche, which is principal, primary, first in order. A great angelic deposit God made in this being. One that desired to be like God. One that wanted to be worshipped. One that wanted adoration and love. And one that wanted to be so much like God that he said in his heart, I will be like the Most High. And when he fell, God did not take away from him all of that ambition, all of that desire. Neither did God take away from him the power that was given to him in the channel in which he was created. And so God, knowing that he would do all of this, God must have a law by which he works in order to express his attributes. That was the law of contrast. Under the law of contrast, you need both darkness and light. You need sickness and health. You need good times and bad times. You need difficulties and you need deliverances. All of that under the law of contrast to make it work. Well, I'll be glad when this is all over, won't you? When we're no longer living under that law of contrast. But being that, Satan is he's a very great impersonator. Satan studied God. He wants to be like God, but he wants to be in opposition to God. But the best way that he found to oppose God is not be just in direct opposite as far as north is from south or east from west, but oppose him by being similar. Oppose him by being so much like him that you can be able to use the bait and switch method, and only the real people with keen understanding will be able to sense and know the difference. Now, those of you that are familiar with bait and switch, how many knows what that is? Many of you, you've heard it. Well, you've had it done to you at the grocery store. You've had it done to you at Walmart, different places. They're very tricky because there's laws against it now, of course. But the bait and switch theory is that they're able to advertise a certain product to you. It's at an unbelievable price. It's called loss leaders in grocery stores and things like that. But it will be something that they'll put out in their flyers or on their phones anymore, apps, and it'll be something that is so unbelievably cheap, and it's such a great, tremendous deal. But then you may get there and they don't have that particular item which was advertised, so then they will want to give you another item which is slightly higher price. Now that's called bait and switch. And yet what they will do, many of them won't go exactly that way because there's a line there where you've crossed the line and you've broken the law, but they will put the cheap product out, they will get you in, and you'll look at the cheap product, and then what they will do is a saleswoman will say, now really that one does not have automatic this and automatic that, and this is the bottom of the line, and for just a little bit more you could get one that will dry itself, wash itself, clean itself. It's so much easier for you, you see. And of course, we're living in Laodicea, so we want everything done for us, so we are willing to pay a little bit more. That's the bait and switch. Now, Satan knows enough about this, since he's the originator of it. He tried it in the Garden of Eden. And you know what? He found out Eve took the product. So he baited her with something that was so close to the word, yea, hath God said. And I want you to notice, he did not quote to her the message of Noah, the message of Moses, the message of Luther, the message of Wesley or Pentecost, but he quoted to her the original Edenic message which God had given to them and slightly twisted it just a little bit. So he baited her with something that sounded so close to the original, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And then she comes back, of course, and says, well, God has said that we shall not eat of every tree which is in the garden, except the tree which is in the midst of the garden. And God has said, if we eat of it, we will neither touch it, but we shall surely die. Now, the first thing he does, of course, is the bait and switch theory. And that is that he changes her approach about the
divine being. Now we know up to this time, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, that Moses captured the deity of God, and he says, in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth, and God done this and God done that. Up to chapter 1 and chapter 2. Chapter 3, he moves into the attributes of God by saying, Lord God. So now it's not just God, the one which is apart from humanity, but the compound redemptive name, which is now is revealing himself as Jehovah with his family, Lord God. So every dealings then from there on with man is the compound name, Lord God. But when Satan come to talk to her, he reverted back to, yea, hath God said. So it is the impersonal being, the one which cannot really feel what you're going through, the one that doesn't really understand. I mean, after all, we're down here in Laodicea. How in the world could God understand what we're going through? So Satan now, he switches, and their approach is to make God feel so impersonal to Eve. Now, so he says, has God said, not Lord God, but has God said, and she picks it up just like that. Now, he baited her and switched to her the title of deity, and she in turn catches it and said, yea, God has said. Now, where did she hear this? Because in the dispensation of the Garden of Eden, the name by which he was known was Lord God. And the Lord God brought the man, to the woman to the man. And the Lord God brought the man from the dust of the earth. And the Lord God. So where was it that she heard this? Now you see, to the average so-called Christian, they never even know the difference. They never even know that the manifestation of the Word of God interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. So how we hear about God, don't you understand? That's why the Christianity in this day is so deceiving to the multitudes around the world. It's the way that they are presenting him. And we know the word name in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is actually Shem, but it means not just a name by which a person or being is called, but in it involves the traits, the characteristics, and everything, the embodiment of that person. So here he switches it, and now she is saying what he said. Oh yeah, that's right. Well, God said we should not eat of every tree. Oh, he said, oh, that's not true. But God, again, not Lord God, but God does know that in the day you eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What's he done? He's now baited her, and he's switching, and now he's saying, really, the message of the hour is not you living in this paradise. It's not you and your husband and all this. That's not really what it's all about. The message of the hour is you partaking of that which God, in his injustice, and God out of just being mean, and God just trying to deprive you of some good clean fun. God's this mean old God that don't want you to dress like the world and act like the world. Them old preachers get up there and preach and all that stuff, and they're trying to keep you from fun. We are not. We're trying to keep you from hell. We want you to enjoy life. We want you to enjoy your Christian life, but we want you to enjoy it with godly things, not things that are corrupt. Now, Satan, of course, this is the first time that he dealt with a human being. Down through time, he found out that thing worked so successfully that he done it over and over again. He applied the same principle when the children of Israel were under the time of delay, when Moses went up to the mountain, and they were down in the valley waiting on Moses day after day after day. So what did Satan do? He presented the exact same tactic again, and that was bait and switch. Now remember, they came from the land of Egypt. In the land of Egypt, they worshipped all kinds of gods, all kinds of goddesses, and the most of them, many of them, maybe say it this way, many of them were in the form of animals. One of the favorites was Apis, which was the bull. Now Apis was a god by which the Egyptians attributed all kinds of things. So they're waiting on Moses. They don't know where he is. And they're thinking, surprising, maybe this man's dead. We don't know where he's at. So the people come back and they say, hey, make us gods. So who do they speak to? They speak to Aaron. Make us gods. So Aaron takes a graving tool and he goes to making what was called a calf. But actually, when you look in the Hebrew word and look at the history of it, it was actually Apis the bull. So it was something that they had previously worshipped. Now God says, you'll not make any graven images. I don't want want you worshiping anything that looks like an animal. Why is it that man has down through the centuries worshiped things that had an imagery of animal? Because fallen man, unregenerate man, is animal himself. Right? So you take the Spirit of God off of a man, and what is it? He's lower than an animal. A man that does not have the Holy Ghost will do things lower than any animal that lives on the face of the earth. Because a man has a soul, you deprive the light from that soul. It puts him in a worse state of darkness. Absolutely. So here, what does Satan do? In this lapse of time and the delay, then Satan is able to catch them in the state of miswonderment, trying to figure what in the world has happened to Moses. So he said, hey, you all want to worship. You all need something to try to rally you together. So he baited them with the prophet may be dead. Something has happened to him. Then he switched away from the imagery of God to what God wanted them to worship. And he cuts up what? Apis, the bull. So they start worshiping the bull. And they start worshiping and sacrificing and all that they did. And you know the story. What was he doing? Offering them a substitute away from the original program of God. On and on and on we could go. Now we know under the Levitical law that God gave the children of Israel substitutes unto the real Cain. And the real was, of course, the Word made flesh. God gave them the law, which was the Word, but not the Word made flesh. God gave them, of course, ordinances and statutes. God gave them types and shadows and washings and all kinds of sacrifices. It was going to be a substitute that would last for a time. But the substitute never has the exact value as the real. But by the time they had already, they'd got so religious and all their substitutes. So when the real thing came, which was Christ the Word made manifest, the prophet tells us in the third seal, they were so wrapped up in their substitutes that they didn't want the real once the real came. So God gave them a law. Well, then the Word become flesh, but they loved the substitute so well, they did not want the flesh version of the Word. That's right. They wanted sacrifice. And oh, they still believed in sacrifice. But that sacrifice of the bull, of the rams, of the turtle doves, of the bullocks, all of that, it was only a substitute pointing them to a time when a real thing would come. When the real thing come, they said, we don't want the real thing. We'll not have this man to rule over us. What did Satan do? Now, once again, he used exactly the same tactic, and that was bait and switch. So the real one was there. The prophecies of the prophets was there, and he identified himself strictly in the Word, and they said, we don't want it. We want our substitute. And the prophet said, that's the very reason they denied the Word. So Satan has found out with human beings that it doesn't have to be, you know, really, really far away in order to tempt them from the original. But sometimes make it really, really close with just a little bit about the original form, which is altered, and human beings tend to fall for it. And they get suckered right into it. Well, praise the Lord. So it's bait and switch. Now, he's done that down through the ages. So what makes you and I think that he's going to do it any different now with us? So here we are. We're in the message of the hour after God has sent a prophet. And now we've had all of these years to be able to see what we will do with the Word after that prophet left, just like the children of Israel did. And we're going to have the same confrontation of Eve's interpreter to where the devil will come among us and try to bait and switch us the way he did the children of Israel on down through the Asia. Y'all hear me this morning? Now, if you'll study the Old Testament, you'll find he used the same tactic over and over again. When it comes to the New Testament, he said, well, I'll change it. It worked with people then. It'll work with them now. So what did he do? He baited and switched again when it come to the Nicaea Council and they formed the first organized religion. And listen, friend, that white horse rider hid so well under that auspices of that anointing that Brother Branham looked at that scripture in Revelation 6 and he read from there and preached the mighty conqueror and talked about it being Christ, the Holy Ghost. Come on, don't get quiet now. That devil hid so well that a prophet looked right at him and thought it was Jesus until the seals come open. Can you imagine how he felt when he looked at that and realized that's not the Christ, it's the Antichrist. But how did he do it? He baited and switched it, and people for years thought it was the Christ. So what's he going to do to us? I'll tell you what he's going to do. One of the many things he's going to do, he's going to try to bait and be able to trade it out again, first of all, on the new birth. To where we think, well, we just accept the message of the hour. That means we got the Holy Ghost. It means no such a thing. If you're not born again, you will be lost. You can listen to tapes every day of your life. You can quote Brother Branham verbatim. And when you get done quoting, the devil can outquote every one of us, preachers included. So what does he do? He baits and switches. Well, you don't need the Holy Ghost no more. All you got to do is just believe Brother Branham. Oh my. You know what? The devil could definitely give us a testimony service here today. If them demons could come up here and say how they met that prophet of God. All the people of the world wants to say it was a false prophet. I wonder what devils would say if they could tell the truth. It would call them up here this morning. So he'll try to substitute for the new birth. He'll try to substitute for going to church. He'll try to substitute for preachers and say, all you got to do is push play and obey. Well, when I push play, I obey. That's why I'm preaching this morning. God's prophet said if a man's called to preach, get in the pulpit and preach. Show me where he said get in the pulpit and push play and I'll do it. What is it? Substitution. Satan wants to substitute again. So he wants to substitute so many things in our life because he knows how we are as human beings. Only the real elect of God will not be deceived. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be so close in the last days, it will not be a Pentecostal compared to the bride. It will not be Church of Christ or Methodist or something like that. It will be right around our own ranks, my friends. Oh my goodness, let me tell you something. For the most part, it won't just be a dry type religion. There will be signs, there will be wonders, there will be miracles. I believe in miracles, but don't get your eyes on miracles as our only vindication. It's a life of the Word of God. Satan can perform all kinds of things. He'll call fire out of heaven at the end time and do all kinds of things. We believe in miracles, do we not? But if a person can perform miracles and not live a life by the Word, they're anointed of the devil. Woo. Now, in dealing with that, Satan, the great scientist, he studied every aspect of God. Now, of course, you know God is the creator of original science, and man through time has been able to break into the laboratory of God, understand many of the things that God has made. When God in the beginning made the first atomic bomb, when God in the beginning split the first atom, which was the birth of the atomic bomb, God did not have any nuclear fallout. God knows how to divide the atoms and split them by the spoken word. And when you divide an atom by the spoken word, then there's no nuclear fallout. So God knows how to do it. Now man takes it into his nuclear reactor and divides and splits and causes all this kind of trouble because he don't understand all the aspect of science. But the original creator spoke by his word and say, let there be, and the prophet said, an atom burst it. Isn't it amazing? No radiation come off of it. So there's no nuclear fallout because he understands how all of this scientific part works. But Satan was there. Remember when all the existence of things in time come into view under the heavens, Satan was already fallen. At this time the prophet tells us that the angels had fallen already when the earth come into existence. That day on Calvary 1960, he said, whenever God was creating the earth, that Satan walked up and down the earth and left his footprints in the volcanic ash on the earth. What's he doing? Footprints meant possession. So he's claiming the earth as his new headquarters. He's made a mess out of it too. Well, let me just tell him this morning, I've got bad news for the old boy. He better enjoy it while he can because the saints are fixing to take it over. Praise God. We're going to take this mess, and the Lord Jesus, under the reign of the Son of David in the millennium, is going to turn it back to its original Eden condition again. So he knows how to do substitution. So he studies the body, as we looked at it last night, and he has certain things that he wants to bring into mankind that will make man substitute the reality of God for fake things on the side of Satan himself. Watch this. I love the way Brother Ram says this. I might stumble some of y'all. Hope not. Cedar discrepancy. Notice he is that rose of Sharon, that sweet smelling Savior, the anointing upon his people. You cannot come before him with any creed, any other thing, but anointed by that rose of Sharon, the word. He also is the lily of the valley. Now, how do you get opium? You get opium when you take a lily and squeeze it out. You get the opium doctor use it in their laboratories. Take a man that's nervous and frustrated, or a woman, she's feeling like she's going to go crazy. She's walking the floor and screaming and hysterics. A doctor will take a little lily opium and push it into her arm or vein somewhere or his, and they quieten down. It's all over. Notice, for a while. All over for a while, but as soon as that opium dies out, here they come again, worse than they ever was. So here is something external from a human, which is placed into the human, that helps the human cope with human problems. And then when this exterior force reduces and loses its ability, the human is worse than they were before they took it. What is it? A substitute. Now, the Holy Ghost has never made anybody worse than they were before it found them. The new birth just don't do that. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Mike, never makes folks worse. It always makes them better. The Holy Ghost will never take a drunk and make a worse drunk. He'll only get them off of Jack Daniels and get them on new wine. Now, I'm not saying they don't drink, because they're bad drinkers if they ever really get the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, the prophet said he got the Holy Ghost, and he said he'd been drunk every day of his life since. Oh, praise the Lord, but you don't get a hangover. You don't spend all your baby's milk money or your rent money. Oh, but once you get a hold of it, you say, Lord, give me more. I want more of that good Holy Ghost, because it changes your life. Watch this. He says in the same sermon, I tell you, friends, that's only a type of the genuine opium from the lily of the valley. So here the mad scientist found in lilies and poppies and all these different things found opiates which exactly line up with human structure in their chemistry. So he thinks, bait and switch. Give them something external from their self that will give them this feel-good feeling, this high, this euphoria, and stress them out where their own bodies won't make their own, and then I'll make them so dependent on me, they'll have to have me, and then I'll get them strung out, and I'll overdose them, and I'll take them to hell with me. Let's have it, friends. Be real. This is the shortest time the devil has. He don't just want you for 40 or 50 years. He wants to take you to the pit with him. So here is real opium. The Lord Jesus. But Satan has a substitute. So they start. I mean, however it is they do it. I don't know. So however it is that they do it. And they start, you know, smoking it or drinking it or eating it. I'm not sure how they take dope. I'm not sure. So they go to getting it. Those going to reacting in their body. And if it was not something compatible to what was already there. Now let's take, for example, I take the leaf off of this plastic tree from China. And I break it down, and somehow I take it into a laboratory and I dissolve it from this form into a liquid. And then I shoot that inside of me. Will I grow leaves? No, more like it's going to make me sick. It'll kill me. Why? Because it probably wouldn't have something in it that would be compatible to the chemistry in my brain and in my body. So the devil won't try to get me hooked on something like that. That's why he loves to use the prophet's quotes and deceive people around the message. Because prophet's quotes is what they're compatible with. Well, Brother Bram said this. Brother Bram said this. But yeah, he also said this and this over here. How come you left that out? But you know what? Well, Brother Bram said. That's why you got to rightly divide the word of truth. So a person comes to you with a few quotes, you better make sure that they've got the entirety of the subject before you start following them. Why? Because it is a compatible issue in us as message people. If people come to you and said, Franklin Graham said so-and-so, and the smiley preacher from Texas said so-and-so, you say, I don't care what he said. But if they said, Brother Graham said this, and Brother Graham said, oh, really? I didn't know Brother Graham said that. What is it? It is something by which you are compatible to catch that big hook right in your jaw. Except they only give this part of the quote and didn't give you the rest of it, because if it did, it would have totally changed the meaning they wanted you to see. What is it? So he lays the bait out there and switches what you're trying to do. Switch your thinking off of the Word of God. Oh my. Notice he is the lily of the valley. He was squeezed out on Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we were healed. In that squeezing out of the flowers, he was a flower. He was the greatest flower that ever grew. He was a lily of the valley, this great rose of Sharon. And God gives you the Holy Ghost with a good hypodermic needle, and God shoots it inside of you. You go start raving mad. You'll say, Lord, have mercy. Don't you understand what happened on the day of Pentecost? They all got a shot. Men and brethren, we're not drunk like you think we are. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And that was the Virgin Mary staggering around, speaking in tongues. That was them arguing, fussing preachers that was fussing over who was going to be the biggest preacher in the message. But this opiate took care of that. I'll tell you one thing, a lot of these preachers in the message get a real good dose of the Holy Ghost. They'll forget about whose church is the biggest and whose ministry is the most important. We realize there's one great one among us. And it ain't a preacher. It ain't a singer. It's the Lord Jesus. But then Satan says, oh, that's a great idea. I love that. So I'll bait and switch. Now, you are cells. You are bones, tissue, cartilage. But you're also a walking chemical factory. I've never thought about it that much until this last few weeks, and I've been looking at this, but it makes me realize how when God made man, that had we not had these chemicals inside of us, a lot of what we are would not be here, and we would be totally different. We'd be more like animals. Let me go through a few of these. You don't mind, do you? Don't matter if you do, I'm going to do it anyway. Other chemicals that the brain releases. Acetylcholine. I know we got nurses here and different people like that, so if I make a mess of this, y'all forgive me. Try to get the thought of it, because I'm more than likely I ain't going to say all these words right. Among other things, acetylcholine appears to play an important role in learning and memory. The neurons that produce this neurotransmitter, now watch this, cholinergic neurons are found in several regions of the brain where, when stimulated, they release their stores of neurotransmitters onto waiting neurons. Nicotinic receptors, named after one of their most potent activators, nicotine. Wow. So there's things in your body that's in tobacco that when you smoke cigarettes actually affects your chemistry. But from this point on, I would appreciate a few amens. Anyway, I didn't realize that many folks at Happy Valley smoked. Notice this. This is the reason why cigarettes are so addictive. Allow ions to quickly pass through them when either acetylcholine or nicotine binds to them. Now who but God and the devil knew that such things went on in the human brain? He's the mad scientist. He's the one that comes up with these substances. Great, this is wonderful. So I go out here and I find this plant, and I'll, of course, make people add more of this stuff to the plant. What you smoked today wasn't what Pocahontas had. You know, there's been one lawsuit after another proving that the tobacco companies added more stuff. Who taught them that, friends? The devil. The devil done it so he could addict them and finally cause cancer in their body and kill them and take them to hell with him. So instead of giving them the peace of God, well, they ought to sit down when they're going through trials and nervous and don't know what to do. They ought to sit there and read their Bible and get down and pray, Lord Jesus, I need your peace. Lord, please help me. But instead of that, they strike up a cigarette and they pull the smoke through them and it releases this in their brain. And they say, Brother Donnie, it actually helps. I'm not saying it don't, but I'm looking at the long term. Well, praise the Lord. I hope and pray to God the restaurant where you folks go to eat at today don't ask you what the preacher preached on. There's going to be a lot of stutters and stammers, I'm afraid. Go on. Muscarinic receptors from muscarina receptor stimulant poison extracts from certain mushrooms. Wow. Satan didn't have far to go, did he? It wasn't like he had to spend a spaceship come out to Mars and get some kind of dust and mix it with a little bit of water from Pluto and a little bit of this and that and the other from... Where was it? Right here? Where do you figure he's going to get so much of his ammunition against you message folks? From inside the ranks of the message itself? Well, praise be to God. Oh my. Notice this. A receptor stimulant poison extracted from certain mushrooms acts on a slower time frame than the nicotinic receptors. One of the most common blockers of the muscarinic receptors is atropine, a natural compound found in certain plants, such as deadly nightshade or mandrake. Remember reading about mandrake in the Bible? Now look at this. Cannabinoids, such as in marijuana. There's no doubt that the brain responds to cannabis. The question is, why would the brain evolve the ability to bind to this drug? In fact, the active component of the cannabis plant, I'm not even going to try to say that word, but THC is a natural mimic of compounds that the human body actually makes on its own. So here is an impersonator in the plant world. And the great scientist knew about it. Now he might have been able to pronounce that big long word, but since I can't, I'm just going to say THC. So he said, get this THC into humans and it will make them respond. Don't you understand, friend? When God started forming the lower creations of life, every image, all of that tied together, every bit of it unfolded. I believe in a spiritual evolution. The prophet said it's like God was learning more. He wasn't, of course, but it was like he was learning more. So you watch them as they start off and they unfold and they unfold and they unfold. And this is where Darwin was able to see that there was a connection through all the things of life. And there is, but it was not that you evolved from a monkey. It did not have the ability to evolve itself. Can you imagine men to claim to be in the right mind and think that a butterfly would be able to evolve and cause itself to be able to transform and turn into nothing but a bunch of juice and a little cocoon, and in a matter of days it totals digestive system, everything about it. It loses its own stomach, it loses its eyes, it loses and makes antenna and comes out on the other side of that cocoon in a body change. Oh, can you imagine men in the right mind thinking it chose to do that on its own? As I said before, as dumb as some of we are, we'd probably evolve into a mushroom or a carrot or a pineapple or something. God's the one who gave you any sense if you've got any. So here is a natural mimic of compounds that the human body actually makes on its own. So then when people smoke marijuana or chew it or eat it or whatever it is they do to it, do they feel something? Sure they do. Does it help them? Yes. Is it like eating rat poison? No. But it goes right straight to their brain and links with their neurons and begins to send the message from one neuron to another, to another. Oh, peace at last. No, not at last, only momentarily. Until however long you smoked it runs out, and then you want another, and another, and another, and another. Come on, church. What is it? It's the addictive behavior of the chemistry in our body. But may I say to you, it's not only just in the natural man, but Holy Ghost-filled saints also get addicted. They get addicted to the Word. They get addicted to worship. They get addicted, brother. I'll tell you, once they get a taste of it, oh my, they'll never be satisfied. They've got to have more and more and more and more. You talking about a time when we gather into eternity, there'll be no more separating. There'll be no more parting. It'll be praise. It'll be worship. It'll be singing. Oh, hallelujah, for the ceaseless ages. This group of THC-like chemicals made within the body are endocannabinoids. Notice, got the same name. Contains part of the same name of that which is in marijuana. Except this one's out of you and this one's in you. Anybody that's got these that God makes, you never see them overdosing. Oh, what's the matter? I'm overdosing my endocannabinoids. Your pharmacist is constantly at work keeping you balanced. He released so much endorphins, and when you've had enough, he shuts down. Well, praise the Lord. These are fatty chemicals able to move freely between cells until they find their receptors, CB1 and CB2. Once these are activated, a number of pathways are activated, resulting in a diverse array of effects, from reduced experience of pain to the movement of the digestive tract, as well as having an effect on mood. So you're all down and out. You get a little in you. That ain't the kind of joy the Holy Ghost brings. And one of the side effects, of course, of marijuana for many people is the munchies. That's what they call it, the munchies. Then they go to smoking, and because there's something in the chemistry of their body goes to reacting. Well, one of the side effects, if you want to call it that way, to a baptism of the Holy Ghost, born again child of God, they got the spiritual munchies. They got to constantly have that word. Because the Holy Ghost don't feed on emotion. The Holy Ghost don't feed on singing. The prophet of God said the Holy Ghost feeds on the Word. And it's got to be the Word in season. Brother, sister, if you ever get it right, you say, ma'am, will I ever stop eating on this Word? Never. Or you say, Brother Donnie, I'm afraid you preachers are going to run out of something to preach. No. As long as you're here with the spiritual munchies, we'll always have things to say. And it won't be warmed up in a microwave. It'll be fresh from the bakeries of heaven. Now let's look at the opioids, shall we? Poppy-derived painkilling. The color for poppy is the source of the alkaloid drug, opium, an opiate literally meaning poppy tears. A property that led to the eventual discovery of the numerous opioid receptors that bind such compounds with the nervous system. So you understand where science found all these opioids that we have such a problem with. You know where it come from? A plant. So was it one? Was it two? Was it three, four, five? Somewhere in a laboratory and studying the plants and studying the human makeup, and all of a sudden their master inspired them. And they saw a link. Yes, sir. Oh. So this is almost identical to what's in us. So if we could manufacture this and make a bunch of money off of it. And of course we'll help people on the side. Don't you understand? When the prophet in the vision saw them scientists pouring all these things into the test tubes. Whew. Notice this. One well-known opiate commonly used today for the treatment of severe pain is morphine. After Morpheus, the Greek god of dreams. Distributed throughout the nervous system, the opioid receptors, OP1 through OP4, are involved in all the calming effects we might expect, such as pain relief and reduction in anxiety. But these are taken to extremes by recreational drugs, such as heroin. The natural partners to the opioid receptors are the endorphins. Released during certain activities, such as running. They thought to be responsible for the runner's high, also pain, and others. Now, here again, we have to have a scientist that fell out of the original laboratory and took chemical secrets with him. Dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, endorphins are the quartet. Boy, they sing a song, don't they? Responsible for your happiness. My goodness. Many situations can trigger these neurotransmitters. Endorphins is the brain's painkiller. It is 3 times more potent than morphine. So you mean God made us with these correct ones in us? Why? We needed under the timeline of the negative side of the law of contrast. Praise be to God. So you've got something in you that is 3 times stronger than morphine. Man alive, if I ever have another kidney stone, I'm going to go to try to figure that out. Why would God make such things in the body? Adam didn't need this in the beginning. He had no pain. He had no sorrow. You imagine Almighty God when he made the body in the beginning with these chemicals. I said, Adam, you don't need it now, but Donnie will. You don't need it now, but my daughters will at the end time. They'll need this chemistry inside of them. So Satan says, I love it. This is great. Man, thank you, God. Thank you. So I'll get in my laboratory and I'll go to searching and pulling and finding to make a substitute to give to these poor humans. You see, by some of the major religions of the world, Satan is actually projected as the good attribute. The Mormons, when you study their doctrine, if you look at it, realize that they believe Lucifer and Jesus were brothers. The decision had to be made of which one would come down to the earth and which one would be the bad guy. So there are some religions around the world that project Satan as the one who really tries to help humanity, because he's the one that comes up with all these things to help make life a little easier for us. He's the one who brings up the sedatives and the drugs and the alcohol. And God is the mean God. God is the bad God because God says you can't take it. And the devil is actually the good God. That comes straight from the pits of hell. There ain't not one good thing about the devil. How he must laugh when people say that and believe it. Where was I? Oh yeah, morphine. Scientific research over the last several decades has led to the revolutionary discovery of opiate-like chemicals in the body that associate with opiate-specific receptors in the brain and spinal cord. Being in a positive state has a significant impact on your motivation, productivity, and well-being. Endorphins are released in response to pain and stress and helps to alleviate anxiety. The surging second wind and the euphoric runner's high when running are a result of endorphins. Similar to morphine, it acts as an analgesic and sedative, diminishing your perception of pain. So which do you think would be the easiest and quickest? Taking time off to pray, having to get along with God, or popping a pill, going to the bathroom, smoking your joint, come back. People ain't sure if you're on dope if you stuck your finger in the light socket. Endorphins act in the brain as natural pain relievers. Don't you see, friend? Our world is under an onslaught every day by this substitutionary evil. Substitute joy. Substitute peace. Substitute painkillers. I'm not preaching against you going to the doctor. I'm not preaching against you going to the emergency room. There's times, you know, I thank God for those things that's there, but the abuse is what's wrong. When our life has to depend on it. My, there's so many people, I don't know what they'd do if it was not for some of these strong opiate drugs to help them get through pain. But look at every one of them. Every one of them, the pain prolongs and prolongs and prolongs. And before long, good Holy Ghost-filled saints become addicted to pain meds. And you understand why that happens? Then that pain becomes even greater personified when it does not get the drug, and then it will actually create pain in your body in order for you to feed it. Why? It was bait and switch. Endorphins act in the brain as a natural pain relievers. Their action is imitated by heroin, morphine, and alcohol. Imitated impersonators. Let me give you something to smile about now. Y'all looking awful gloomy this morning. Aromatherapies. The smell of vanilla and lavender has been linked to the production of endorphins. Studies have shown that dark chocolate. What do y'all think that's funny for? I thought, Lord, I'm going to have a time whenever I read this right here at church, because how long, Brother Donnie, did it take you to find that? Well, it wasn't very long at all. It was just in this article. This is not the Donnie Reagan version of this article either. Studies have shown that dark chocolate and spicy foods will cause your brain to release endorphins. Keep some scented oils and dark chocolate at your desk for a quick endorphin boost. Now, that's not my words. That's from the doctor that wrote this article. You mean our moods, our everyday life could be affected by something so simple. Oxytocin. The release of oxytocin creates intimacy, trust, and strengthens relationships. And animals will reject their offspring when the release of oxytocin is blocked. Oxytocin increases fidelity. Men in monogamous relationships who were given a boost of oxytocin interacted with single women at a greater physical distance. When I read this, I realized this is what some of the men in the message need. A boost of oxytocin. It would cause some of these married men to quit flirting with somebody else's wife or younger women. Now you imagine that God would actually so make the human body that this chemical inside of us being released helps control that thing about interaction and intimacy with the wrong individual. Wow. What a wonderful thing God made when he made a man. Notice this. A boost of oxytocin interacted with single women at a greater physical distance than men who were not given any Holy Ghost. I mean oxytocin. Oxytocin is the glue that binds together healthy relationships. Often referred to as the cuddle hormone. A simple way to help oxytocin flowing is to give someone a hug. Now we do know that this means within reason. So don't some of you young men going out hugging all these pretty ladies. Especially you married men. You got to hug the right people. Don't let your oxytocin go crazy. A simple way to keep oxytocin flowing is to give someone a hug, Dr. Paul Zak. Explains the interpersonal touch. Not only raises oxytocin, but reduces cardiovascular stress and improves the immune system. Rather than a handshake. So if that's the way you and your wife introduce yourself as a handshake, let me give you a greater way. Go in for the hug. Dr. Zak recommends 8 hugs each day. You sisters say amen to that. Brothers, did you hear that? Well, I'm quitting after that. I mean, you mean to tell me that in marriage with your children, what is it about us as humans? I know how it is when I see brothers that I haven't seen for a long time. You know, if I go overseas or be flying out to Phoenix on Tuesday, speak out there on Wednesday and then on the weekend in Cottonwood, there'll be folks that I'll see that I haven't seen in a long time. But it depends on where they are in my heart. For many of them, this is what I'll do. But for many of the brothers, it's just that connection between them. Don't you give me that hand. I want that neck. What is it about us that we want to hug one another and embrace one another? If you husbands will start hugging your wives more, I mean, I realize she didn't sound like she wanted it, but maybe you've deprived her of it so much you don't remember what it even feels like. I don't know. Giving someone a gift will also cause their you imagine? Oxytocin levels rise. You can strengthen work and personal relationships through a simple birthday or anniversary gift. Can I go on? Look at what God, what a beautiful creation that He's made. So when we look at certain things and those endorphins and when we look at things that we remember, and we know that our brain is so designed that it develops what is called dendrites. Those dendrites form from memories, either good or bad. And when you look at a certain thing, those dendrites begin to release these chemicals in your body. a certain preacher in the message. Many years ago, I heard me preach a message about being healed in your spirit. Carol and I left after the service and started down the highway. He called me on the phone. He said, "Brother Donnie, I want to share an experience with you." He said, "Whenever I was in construction," he said, "we was building, had a burn pile." And he said, "it was kind of, we dug a hole with a bobcat so we could burn refuse lumber and all that in the burn pile." And he said, "I got too close to it. We had a fire going. I got too close to it and the dirt fell out from under my feet. And I fell into this burn pile." And he said, "I couldn't get out." And he said, "the crew come and they was all running and helping me." And he said, "they finally got me out." And he said, "the only thing we had to drink was Gatorade." And he said, "tonight while you preached, that Gatorade they brought you was sitting on the pulpit." And he said, "whenever I looked at that Gatorade, I was back in them flames." Because I was talking about how things are stored in our human spirit and how we deal with all that. And he said it was like the sensation of pain was going over his body again. Why? The dendrites in his brain formulated path by these neurotransmitters and his eyes focusing on that innocent bottle of Gatorade. But yet to me, it was going to bring relief when I needed it. But to him, he sat there and every time he looked at it, it associated with fire. It associated with pain. It associated with suffering. Why? Because the dendrites in his brain formulated around that. You know what I'm talking about. Every one of you have had painful things that has happened to you. Maybe somebody wronged you in some way, or you were abused as a child or whatever more. And you'll have a flashback of something that would happen there. And all of a sudden, this strange, peculiar feeling. You know what I'm saying? It is a feeling. It is not your imagination. It is your body releasing. What does it do? It releases the hormones and things inside of you to either fight or flight. And there you are, reliving a portion of that. But oh friend, let me tell you today, our God desires to bring not only our spirits and our souls, He wants to bring our bodies in such control to the Holy Ghost that we cannot change this world out here, but we can change our thoughts. We can change the amount of victory. Yeah, I'll reiterate to you today the quote I quoted to you last night. The prophet said, "I am happy because I have a right to be happy." Don't you base your happiness on your bills being paid and everything going good, because you'll never be happy. But you need to change your thinking. I've got a right to be happy. I've got a right to have joy. I've got a right to be this kind of Christian God said I could be. Let me have a few more minutes and we'll close. This is one of the best doctor visits you'll ever have in your life. Faith without works is dead. All right, bring the lady. You believe with all your heart, believe Jesus Christ makes you well right now. Go thanking God, saying, "Praise you, Lord. Praise you." Don't never have no negative testimony. Testify positive. Jesus has healed me and I'm well. Go and you will receive your healing. Say, "Praise be to God." Amen. Notice again, he says, we want to change from hope today to positive faith. And there's only one way we can get positive faith. That's by positive thinking of positive things. I'm not preaching Norman Vincent Peale's gospel. I'm talking about the gospel of Christ, the Word. Dr. Ravinder Mantani in New York, who has led leading research in the field of positive thoughts, says in many cases, if you have a chronic disease or illness, calming the mind will calm the disease or illness. Calming the mind means getting rid of the negative thinking and being optimistic and focusing on the positive aspects. Do that. And you'll heal yourself. No wonder the prophet said, "Healing is in you." But of course, the devil wants you to keep going to Dr. So-and-so. We've got a doctor for our feet. We've got one for our back. We've got one for our skin. We've got one for our eyes. We've got one for our nose. We've got one for our toes. We've got one for our ears. We've got one for our up mood. And we've got one for our down mood. We've got one for our gut. We've got another one for our bowels. We've got another one for our liver. And another one for our bones. And do I need to go on? I'm not against that. But none of them have healing. The marvel is you walk in their office and you're sick. They don't have healing. They may have something they can give you to deal with the pain. And they may give you advice. But you're sitting there in their office waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And they rush in and rush out and charge you $75. And you walked in with the healing in you. And you sat down with healing in your body. But you, oh my, instead of looking and saying, God, help me to be able to reach inside of me. Help me, Lord, not only just depend upon this doctor and that doctor, but let me go to Dr. Jesus. All you have to do is learn how to be calm. Wow. Control and direct your mind so you have a positive belief system. Brother, sister, there ain't no more positive belief system than the message of the hour. And remain optimistic, and you really do change your life. You say, but why do you keep emphasizing this? Changing my life is only one step up from changing my body. We'll get to it, Lord willing, when I get back from Arizona. The bride steps out in her position in the Song of Solomon after this, and she calls for him to take her away into the villages. What is it? The call for the honeymoon. Up to that time, he was the assertive one. He was the one calling. He was the one beckoning. I can't go there. I want to, but I can't. Friends, is it any wonder? The prophet of God said, if you've got one speck of that Holy Ghost in you, God ain't got weak parts and strong parts. The power in you today, if you've got the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, you could create your own earth, your own planet, and go live a private life on it. And he said, that power that will raise you from the dead is in you this morning. And he said, you will call your own body from the dust of the earth. Lord Jesus. Do we believe this, or is it just fine words? Dr. Mamtani went on to find that patients who had or had developed a positive attitude and positive feelings had better outcomes and more likely to rebound from medical setbacks. Are you going to have issues? You are. But guess what? You'll get up quicker. The devil will knock you down, and boy, he'll just absolutely knock the wind out of you sometimes. But complainers will, oh God, I don't understand what's going on, oh God. Weeks later, oh God, I don't know what in the world's going on. God, why me, God? You've done rebounded, you've done going right on, you're climbing up the strict side of the mountain, praise God, enjoying the blessings of God. And it's, oh God, why me, God, I don't understand, why? Look, friends, you get in that world, you create that world, and you live in that world, you create that negativity for you, for your wife, for your children, and then you wonder why we're losing our kids to the world? You wonder why we're losing our kids to the things of the world? What do we offer them in this message? Is all we offer them a bunch of quotes and a bunch of fussing and fighting and argument? Let me tell you today, there is an opium. There is a lily of the valley, the Lord Jesus. He's more than fighting. He's more than quotes. He's more than doctrine. He's everything. you, sir. Praise be to God. Brother Eric, let's jump over a few pages there to Persevering in Chicago. Brother, I'm talking about the woman that had a need of her daughter. When she arrived at Jesus, Jesus said he was not even sent to her race. Another thing, he turned around and called her race of people nothing but a bunch of dogs. I'm not saying only to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. That didn't stop her. She was still perseverant. And she said, besides, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to you dogs. Still, she was perseverant. Oh, I like that, he said. Still, she held on. Hold on to it. She was perseverant. She wasn't a hotbed plant. Had to be babied. No, sir. She was not a hybrid article like a big part of the crop today. You didn't have to beg her and say, now, sister, I'll tell you. We'll encourage you to go on. No, sir. There wasn't nobody there to encourage her. Even Jesus himself tried to discourage her. Whew, glory. Now I feel like a holy roller. Sure enough, even Christ himself standing there tried to discourage her. But she held on. People in our age are so babyfied. If somebody don't speak to them right, or they don't get their favorite parking spot, or their special sacred spot where they sit in the church, they're ready to leave. I ain't shook hands with Brother Donnie in 6 months. I'm going somewhere else where it's a smaller church. Well, the devil done this and the devil done that. Yeah. But can you imagine you're coming to Jesus and you're standing there and Jesus said, no! Get away from me, woman! You're a dog. Not only that, your whole race is a bunch of dogs. She just stood there and said, amen. Glory to God. That's why it's going to be a greater miracle when I get it, because I am going to get it. Friends, is our faith this stable that if the Lord Jesus stood between you and the blessing that you'd say, out of my way, Lord. In me is the genes of Jacob. I will wrestle you if need be. Even Christ himself standing there trying to discourage her. But she held on. Amen. Persevering. She arrived at something. And she knew it. What if he had called you a dog? And your race a bunch of dogs? You bunch of Chicagoans. You bunch of Methodists. You Presbyterians. I wouldn't even sit to you. You know nothing but a bunch of hypocrites anyhow. Whew. My, you'd stick your nose up and turn out that door. See why you never had faith to begin with. You're a hybrid hotbed plant that has to be sprayed all the time. Not her. No. Something happened. Faith had anchored. This woman wasn't even born again. Faith comes by hearing the word. And what word was it that she heard? She had no direct promise she could lay her finger on and say, this is me. Not one promise. I didn't say I was done. I'd show y'all you could stand. She is not going to be defeated. Amen. There you are. No matter what the rest done, what the rest said, she's not going to be defeated. Even Jesus himself couldn't discourage her. Now she got right up to the very God himself and he ignored her. After she ran after him crying, she was persistent. Lord, help me. She said she worshiped and help me. Listen to that rebuke. I'm not sent to your race. I ain't got time to fool with you. I'm after better people than you are. Keep your miracles. Keep your healing. I don't want to know. I don't need it. Exactly right. You don't need it. That's why you ain't desperate enough. Oh, but I love this. A lot of them would have got up and said, well, I guess he wasn't sent to us. The revival, I guess I'll go away. Jesus knowed.
She had that kind of faith. Oh, Brother Stacy, I want to be that kind of believer. That Jesus can look at my face and say, I know, Donnie. I know him. She had faith. That's what she had. Notice in paragraph 162, that don't stop faith. Faith is still there, just as fresh as it ever was. What does faith admit? The truth. She finally got to him. The prophet said this woman had never even seen a miracle. She'd never even seen one. How did she know God could even do them? Somehow it dropped in her heart. No matter what your need is today. Notice this paragraph 168. Remember, she had never seen a miracle. She came out of a denomination that didn't believe in miracles. She's believing had to come out of a denomination that said there is no such a thing. She was a Gentile. She had never seen a miracle in her life. But yet when faith takes hold, God is there. She had never seen it, but she had heard about it. Oh, blessed be the Lord. She had heard about it. Look, friends, if doctors are breaking into this about man and what they're saying can produce a natural response, can you imagine what you'll be? Not only just the natural part, but taking the supernatural part. I mean, loves him with all your heart. You want to be a better Christian? Better person? Now, if this woman without the Holy Ghost could stand on this, what about those of us today who've been baptized by the Holy Ghost himself into the very body of Christ? Can't you see why the elect will not be defeated? Pray, Lord. How it must make his heart rejoice when he looks on people of such faith. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we just sit in awe of your great word, of your presence. Dear God, as your prophet said it, you made a wonderful thing when you made a man. We look at these things that we've talked about this morning and see how Satan tries to bring things exterior from ourselves to where we take them on the inside and then we become dependent upon those things. And then our lives are no longer the same unless we have them. And then many times those things lead to more things and more things and more things and more things. Most of us have more things now than we've ever had in our life. Most of us probably have more things than our parents had and than their parents had and on and on and on. But are we more happy? Has our things brought us more happiness? Many of us, maybe we start out with what we call the American dream, making a minimum wage, and then we finally got a little better job and drove a little better car and a nicer home. We kept moving up, 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 a nicer subdivision, nicer place to live. More things, more things, more things. But are we happier? Help us, Lord. And the very things that can bring us happiness, your love, your mercy, your Holy Ghost, is the thing that we tend to put on the back shelf. So then we spend more time taking care of those things and we start missing church. We miss a night here and a night there and a night here and a night there. Before long, we don't even feel the same no more because we're too busy with things. And then we wonder why we lay down in our bed at night and think, is this all life is about? Surely there's got to be more to life than this. And when Satan hears that cry from a heart, then he starts putting up the substitutes. One line, one after another after another. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. We know it was David that stepped out of his window that day. We know according to history. And in order for Uriah, being a Gentile, to live so close to King David, his house was a reward for service. So David looked out of his window that day, and he saw this woman there taking a bath. David was not guilty, just by stepping to the ledge of the balcony. But when he found out she was another man's wife, David stepped over the bounds of right and wrong. When the prophet gave the parable to David, it was a substitutionary parable that he gave, one of bait and switch. He tells him that a stranger come, and the man himself had all kinds of sheep, which David did. Likened in that state sheep to wives. So David had all kinds of wives by which to be able to satisfy this desire. But instead of going to one of them, the devil gave him a bait and switch. Oh Lord God, I pray you'd help each of us here today. Lord, there's things we enjoy doing in life.
Many of those things are not wrong and sinful. Help us to keep them that way, where in everything we do in moderation. Help us, Lord Jesus. The brothers that hunt, that fish, that golf, the sisters that shop and do this and that and the other. Help us to realize, Lord, you don't want anything between us and you. You want the ultimate experience of our pleasure being you. Praise God. When Sarah asked the question so many, many years ago, shall I have pleasure? The Hebrew word that Sarah spoke was the word Eden. Shall I have Eden with my Lord again? Very same word used for Eden. Lord God, may that be the heart cry of every believer here today. Yes, we will have pleasure with our Lord. I'm sick of just going to church and it being a ritual. I'm sick of listening to tapes and it just being a ritual. I want the pleasure returned. I want the joy returned and clapping my hands and singing the songs of Zion. I want to have pleasure with my Lord. Joy overflowing. Peace that passeth understanding. How many is that your desire today before the presence of God? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We believe we've heard the truth today. So we believe and we receive. Bring healing. Bring peace. Bring restoration. Bring pleasure back to the house of God. Bring pleasure back to prayer. Pleasure back to reading our Bibles. Pleasure to sitting in fellowship. And instead of debating and fussing about doctrines and arguing, the pleasure of fellowship, talking about the goodness and the mercy of Jesus. Praise God. I receive it, Lord. Amen. I can have it because I've got a right to it. Amen. Don't you love him, saints? Hey, let's sing something together. Let's worship him now just a bit before we go. Remember, as we looked at this some months ago, as she was brought into the city on the palanquin, which was the king's own personal means of transportation, the guards were sent out after her. She left her home. Solomon stayed in his because the breach between them was so wide and the gap. He never went to get her himself, but he sent these well-armed men. Amen. They take the palanquin. The palanquin was a little cot of a thing. It had silver, which spoke of redemption. It had gold, which spoke of deity. It had blue color, which spoke of heavenly. It had purple, which was from the mollusk, which was of the scarlet color in the tabernacle. So they go to her home. And they pack her. And here she comes. This humble little Shulamite. Praise God. On their way in, they begin to play the music. As they're coming now close to Jerusalem. The fragrance of the meats as they're being cooked over the barbecue pits. The aroma of the wine and the breads and the fruits, the dates, the honey, the dried fruits. As she's coming closer and closer, her heart racing and beating, nervous, anxiety seeking. I'm going to see him. Will he still want me? Will he still want me? It was about a 2.5 to 3 day journey, so they had to camp. And they break up the journey and give her rest. And she's under the administration of these men who sent to watch her, feed her, and protect her. They wasn't armed with tape players, but the Bible said they're armed with swords. They were soldiers. Men that knew how to fight. They bring her in the city and the gates of Jerusalem swing wide open. Lord God. I
I can't imagine what it'll be that day when we're caught up and we go to walking down that great heavenly city and the gates swing wide open moments after the rapture. We walk into the paradise of God and the angels of God. Your Highness. Your Highness. The King has been waiting for you. Your Royal Highness. He takes her into the chamber. The aroma of the wine, the smell of the fruits. The menorahs lit, the candlestick, the carpets from Persia. They begin to talk as they look in each other's eyes. They begin to pass off these comments and the Song of Solomon there. Lord, children, can you imagine when we sit down at that table? Amen. I'll probably be right at the far end, 1,000 miles long, the very last one on either the left or the right side, don't matter. All of y'all get to see him first. He'll come through and take his garments and say, Sam, don't cry no more. Amen. He'll take his garments and say, it's all right. You imagine him as he reaches over and hugs you. Amen. Eternal endorphins. I don't want to just shake Jesus' hand. I want him to hug me. Can you imagine when you actually get to sit there? Oh, my Lord Jesus. I've loved you. I've waited for this. I say, I know you have. I know. It's all right. Jesus, but I failed you so much. No. It's all right. Here, it's okay. Don't cry no more, okay? Okay. Don't cry no more. Then he goes down to your wife and goes down. He said, oh, my, I got to see him. The main man. Do you believe you're that important to him? When it's my time, when it comes my time. Let's sing this just a little bit. Oh, I know I'm simple, friends. I don't claim to be no theologian. I don't claim to be no deep person. All I know is when I met him that day at my uncle's church, Highway Holiness Church, sitting right on the side of the road, whenever I met him that day, something touched me and changed me forever. Amen. I've had many, many experiences with him. My understanding about him has grown and increased so much. But I've never fallen out of love with him. Amen. It's him I love. It's him that I want to serve. Can we just worship him a little bit?
I've heard them say to do things right, one must take their time. In a hurried pace, there's often a waste with no sense of reason or rhyme. But when I think about my new life and living in my brand new home,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
The first thing that comes to my mind,
think about it, children.
Is time at the throne. It's my time. I'm gonna take my time to behold His face. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time
to
behold His amazing grace.
precious Savior's time. And when I finally reach His presence, I'll take a thousand years, maybe two, just to thank Him for His wonderful love.
Together as we dismiss. Lord Jesus, it's been a wonderful weekend for us to be together. Lord, Friday to be able to eat and have fellowship together, spend a little time then being in church. Lord, that's always a great highlight of our lives. If you should tarry and would be able to have a time like this again next year, no doubt it wouldn't be exactly the same. Some will be crossed over. Who knows, it might be me, it might be Brother Stacy, it might be some of the saints from this assembly or another assembly. But how our hearts are longing, Lord, for that time when we'll all be gathered together. Deaths will be destroyed. Praise God. Sickness will be done away with. We'll be young. Eternal life in a human body. Lord Jesus, I pray, may there not be a one person who stood here today in this august presence of Almighty God that will be missing that day. Help us, Lord. Strengthen your people. Watch over them as they travel home, some flying back, some driving. May you be with them, Lord. May you bring us together again, I pray, if not again in this life, at the time of the rapture. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. So appreciate each of you being with us. Let's sing together. Look for me, Harry. All the visitors that's come to be with us, we trust that we never get to have another Fall Fest again. We trust the next time we're together is at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Because the hot dogs we'll make over there won't even compare to what we're going to feed you there. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. We love you so much. Sing it together. You'll be dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Look for me, for I will be there too. I realize city.